The preaching on the last days came from a time of study in the pastoral epistles over the last number of weeks in my life. Last week I shared with you the conditions for the last days. Part of that is the certainty that they were going to come in Timothy's time, and they would be in every generation coming up through until Jesus Christ returns. There has always been a look, there's always been an urgency regarding the last days. He writes to Timothy and says, hey, be aware of this, be certain of this, these days are coming, the certainty of perilous times. That means dangerous times, that means difficult times. It means times in which your faith will be tested. It means times in which people will be pulled away from their faith. It means times where people will be deceived and seduced into a different direction in life because of the last days and those that are influencing others in the last days. Sin makes times perilous, makes it difficult, makes it hard. The greatest attack in perilous times is an attack on a believer in Christ to leave what he has held to. There's conduct in these times. Last week, we learned that the chief characteristic of all of the other descriptions of the conditions of the last days and the conduct is found in the fact that men shall be lovers of their own selves. Very first characteristic that Paul lays out, that the Holy Spirit lays out in these last days. It is a time where men will be covetous and they will be boasters. We walk through these characteristics, proud, blasphemers in these last days, all pointing to the Antichrist who will be the ultimate blasphemer when he arrives. Disobedient to parents. The Holy Spirit foresaw a total breakdown of parental authority. At the end of the days, a rebellious force that would rise in homes by children who would defy the authority of their parents. People who would defy the authority of our nation and the leaders and teachers that are over us and our bosses. There would be a disobedient, rebellious spirit that would rise and, by the way, is rising. There would be people that are unthankful. In fact, the generation would be known as being unthankful. Young people tonight, may I get you something that will help you throughout the rest of your life if you will just learn to be a thankful person. If you will just learn to get some thank you cards and every once in a while jot one to mom and dad and jot one to a Sunday school teacher in your life, jot one to a youth worker, jot one to a spiritual leader in our church that is standing in the gap for your life. If you would learn to just be thankful, that's a big character trait. When I interview somebody for coming on here, it's one of the top things I look for. If somebody's unthankful, we're going to have a long road ahead. The last days described as people that will have an attitude of unthankfulness. People that will be unholy. That means profane. That means nothing set apart unto the Lord, as I preached this morning on sanctification. That means everything made common. Do you see that today? Do you see that in the Lord's Day today? 50 years ago, we didn't do things on the Lord's Day. Stores weren't open. People weren't anywhere but church. But what has our country become? We've made Sunday like any other day. It's common. It's not set apart unto the Lord. We have become unholy, and that's a small example of across the board where we have made things common. For instance, marriage today. Used to be that marriage was a sacred thing. But today, two men come together in what they call marriage. Two ladies come together in what they call marriage. Two people leave marriage over little things because it's common. It's not sacred anymore. It's not set apart unto the Lord. It's unholy, without natural affection. This phrase describes the absence of family love. Love between parents and their children is natural. There's to be close relationship there. There's to be affection there. But Paul envisioned a generation that will not know the joys of sharing even natural affection, hugging one another in the context of a family. Holding hands as you say grace together as a family. all abnormal today. But Paul saw that as normal. In the last days, this would be without natural affection. Truce breakers. Someone who breaks his commitment. Someone who is untrue to his word. Someone who ignores covenants and contracts. No allegiance to Christ. No allegiance. No loyalty to your mate. No commitment to your church. All doing their own thing. And then, coupled with that word, is the refusal to reconcile. A stubbornness regarding reconciliation in relationships. That's what truce breaking is. That's what the last days will be known for. And by the way, it's here. False accusers, meaning a slanderer, somebody that speaks something false about someone else. Incontinent, meaning having no power over oneself, no command, no self-control. This is what we're living in. These are the conditions. Despisers of those that are good. Somebody that will stand up for right, speak for what is right, gets despised by our world today. Sometimes even despised by Christians today. Somebody that would stand up and be straightforward about what is right. Traitors. There have always been traitors. Jesus had Judas. David had Ahithophel. But in our times, our society will be known for that. Heady means to fall forward or to fall headlong into something. Reckless behavior. Our society today. High-minded means to raise a smoke, to wrap in a fog. People headlong running into things that raise a smoke. Las Vegas, high-minded, raise a ruckus, cause a big news story. High-minded people. I want you to know, before these people calculate these things, I want you to know they know it's going to hit the news media. They want it to hit the news media. High-minded people in our nation today. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The heart of every problem is a problem in the heart. There are two love problems in this passage. The first love problem is the first characteristic of the conditions of the last days. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. The second love problem is the Bible says they shall be lovers of pleasure or pleasures more than lovers of God. People worship things today. People worship pleasure today. We worship ourselves. And our love choice is between pleasures and God. And the Bible says the characteristic of people in the last days is they'll choose pleasures. Boy, that means more to me. How is this done? By our choice of use of money on pleasures? By our time that we put into pleasure? All taking time away from the Lord. I don't think the Bible's against all pleasure. The Bible's just against pleasure that chooses to steal love from God. And the Bible says people will make choices between the two. And they will choose pleasures more than the love of God. They will choose on Sundays to go to the ball game more than they will choose to go to the church. They will choose pleasures, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Christian, be warned tonight that that choice is before you. While the world is hugging and embracing pleasure at all costs, beware, Christian, that you don't start to make the same choice. Lover of pleasure, more than a lover of God. Fill your day with things that you enjoy to do. And leave out time with God. Just too busy for any time with God. Can watch all the news, can listen to the talk shows for hours. But just too busy for even 10 minutes with the Lord, 20 minutes with the Lord. Lovers of what I like to do rather than lovers of God. Brethren, this is the last days. And the temptation for believers is to head the same direction in the world, make the same choices. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The things of God are neglected. We have become a nation of pleasure seekers. There has indeed been a pleasure explosion in America. The pleasure business keeps on growing in this country. Increasing sums are spent on recreation, sports equipment, events, vacations, travel abroad, beach cottages, country homes, swimming pools, boats, campers, snowmobiles, radios, televisions, and you fill in the blank. The world has every avenue to an individual today. It is creating pleasure galore. And all of it is aimed at Christians to convert their love. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Paul wasn't writing to Timothy because he was unsaved. Paul was writing to Timothy to make him alert. This know also that in the last days these things are going to be a full frontal attack on your life, on the church, on Christians all over the world. I would like to make an appeal tonight to our church. We have men that love to hunt. I like to hunt. I mean, I have the same love for it as you do. But in hunting, I have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday to hunt. And I have church on Sunday. I understand some, this is your vacation time. I understand getting away. I get away a little bit for myself. But I would ask all of you in our church that love this particular area to consider your love for God. And say, you know what? My love for God means more to me than my love for pleasure. And if I have a choice to miss church repeatedly, or I have a choice to be in church, I'm going to work to be in church and build my pleasure around my God. I'm appealing to our men, our young men, our older men in this area. You want to have non-committed children down the road? Fill up your Sundays with pleasure. And your children will fill it up further down the road. Commitment means I'm committed. And I'm not committed because I'm a pastor. I'm committed because I'm a Christian and I love my Lord. I appeal to you, gentlemen, on that front. Having a form of godliness is the next characteristic here in the Scriptures. That is, men look it, they sound it, but there's nothing internally to back it up. There's no internal renewal with God on a daily basis. There's no power in prayer. There's no prayers answered. There's a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. God says, from such turn away. They can go to church, go through the motions of religion, but they do not practice what they profess. They will embrace a kind of religion that allows them to live differently with no power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. That allows them to do anything, believe anything, endorse anything, live any way that they choose as long as it makes them happy. Brethren, that is the last days. People having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Paul says, have nothing to do with them. From such, turn away. All of this rings counter to modern thinking, which favors looseness across the board. Have a form. Go to church so that you can tell somebody, I go to church. But that's where it stops. No change of life. No holy living throughout the week. No power to witness to others. No boldness. Having a form but denying the power thereof. Then the Bible speaks about creepers in chapter 3 and verse number 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. In the last days, there will be those who worm their way into young ladies' lives. The word silly here means little. May I speak to our fathers tonight? May I warn you? In the last days, the vulnerable people of the day will be our young ladies, according to the Scriptures. There will be people that try to worm their way into their lives, that try to creep into their minds and into their lives. Gentlemen, fathers, you better be watchful. You better be watchful on social media of who's trying to worm their way into your daughter's life. You better be watchful about a young man that comes along and tries to worm his way into your daughter's life. That has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. You don't want your daughter married to that person for the rest of their lives. We had better be wary, because in the last days, young women are vulnerable. The enemy will go after the young ones, the immature ones. They will be led captive. The idea here is that they will become a prisoner of war. That blindly they will submit their conscience to someone that will defile them. In the last days, that's going to happen. And Satan and his comrades are no respecter of persons. He's not going to look at your daughter and say, well, she's in a local church, we'll stay away from her. He's not going to look at the young ladies in our church that have grown up, been taught purity, been taught modesty, been taught in the right ways to be a feminine lady that honors God and say, well, she's too hard to capture, I think I'll just pass by her. They will be led. Silly women will be led captive in the last days. Awake, fathers. Awake to what's happening in the last days. They will be victims. They will be led away with diverse lusts. Young ladies in our church, be aware of someone creeping into your life for the purpose of influence. If you're working a job, if you just started to work a job, beware. Be guarded. Have walls up. Don't get too friendly with people. Be hard to catch. Don't let your guard down and give your heart away overnight. Understand, there are creeps out there. It's a biblical term, creepers. They want your life. They want you to destroy you. Might be a friend, could be a coworker, could be a Facebook acquaintance, could be a boyfriend, could be someone even within the church. Beware. There are those that resist the truth. In verse number 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They set themselves against leadership. They set themselves against authority. Know these people. The Bible marks them by name here with Moses. Beware of someone who's trying to undermine authority in your life. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate, they don't stand the test, they don't have the life to back it up, they don't have the testimony, they don't have personal character, they don't have walk with God, they don't have anything right. Which is why Paul brought it out and said they're corrupt people, they're reprobates concerning the faith, they dismiss authority in their lives, beware of them. I want you to see the constraint in perilous times, not only the conditions and the conduct, but the constraint in perilous times. Verse number 9, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be made manifest unto all men as theirs also was. In other words, they will be exposed as frauds. Jannes and Jambres were the two musicians in Exodus chapter 7. They tried to imitate what God was doing through Moses in miraculous ways. But there came a time where they were manifested for who they were. They all threw down their staffs and it became a snake. Each staff became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. It came to the time of the frogs. and they couldn't produce it. They were made manifest. Their folly could not remain hidden forever. Christian, hear me. Secret sin in your life can't remain hidden forever either. God's not going to let a fraud live on forever. God's eventually going to manifest it. It shall proceed no further, the Bible says. Their folly, their foolishness shall proceed no further. They were stopped dead in their tracks. Foolishness that reigns in the heart will eventually be made known. Remember that in the last days. That there comes a time where God says, stop sign. Time to reveal what's been going on in private. Time to really show who this person is. God says, I have a constraint system. And they shall proceed no further. I want you to see the conflict in the last days. In verse number 11 and verse number 12. Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All of this conduct that opposes the Scripture creates conflict with those who are committed to living and doing what pleases the Lord. Folks, don't expect in the last days for everyone to like you. Even for other Christians to like you. It is not going to happen. In the last days, expect conflict. Expect affliction. Expect persecution. Expect to be maligned. Expect to be misunderstood. Expect to be judged. Expect to be called out. Expect to be an oddball. So it's Paul saying, I endured all that. These are the things that are happening in the last days. There's going to be conflict. We're going to look more radical. You know, over the years, we have stood for some things and we have not changed on those matters. But people are changing. And expect conflict because of it. Expect persecution. Expect division. Sin causes separation. It causes separation in the home. It causes separation in friendships. It causes separation in the church. It causes separation everywhere. Sin brings separation. The promise is that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer this. It's an aspect of suffering that believers will bear in the last days. Christian, if you stand for anything, expect to be wounded. Expect to be rejected. Expect affliction. As one preacher said it recently, you can be kind, tactful, gentle, but standing will always attract attacks. No matter how you do it. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. It's not if men shall revile you, but when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. There is conflict in the last days. And it's a conflict over right and wrong. It's a conflict over Bible truth versus error. It's a conflict over commitment versus looseness. It's a conflict. Expect conflict. Trying to prepare us for the days in which we're living in. That we will remain faithful, but there's some things you better expect. They're given in the text. Lastly, the charge for perilous times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10. Boy, you read the first 9 verses and it is loaded with negatives. Timothy, this is the onslaught. This is the tsunami of wickedness that's going to flood your life, going to flood your church, going to flood the world in the last days. And then he says in verse number 9 or verse number 10, But thou, Timothy, hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, by faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Paul gives a strategy for the last days, and that is follow godly leaders. Paul modeled what he preached. My prayer is that I could model what I preach to you. That you could look over my life and you could not see perfection. There's no perfection. But I want you to know I believe the same thing for the last 18 years of my ministry. Manner of life, the lifestyle that a leader lives, the purpose of his life, the faith that he has, the long-suffering, the endurance of what he's had to work through and live through, his charity, his love, his patience. Paul says, but thou hast known all of those things, Timothy. Would you take and compare those things to what the last days is producing? Would you take and look at those things compared to what people are following in the last days? This was Paul's challenge to Timothy. I believe he had a right to use this as a means of argumentation because Paul invested in Timothy. Paul was his spiritual father. The principle is based on the truth that we become like the people we associate with. If we follow the ungodly, we will become like the ungodly. If we follow the arrogant, we will become like the arrogant. If we follow those who follow Jesus, we will become more like Jesus ourselves. The charge for perilous times was to follow godly leadership. Paul now attempts to stiffen his young colleague's resolve. Thou hast fully known my doctrine. You know what I believe, Paul said to Timothy. You know what I preach. You know what I've lived. You can see the evidence of it in my life. You have a choice. You can follow all the 18 different descriptions of the last days. Or you can look at what you've been taught and what's been modeled before you and say, I'm going to follow that. Thou, Timothy, I want you to reflect on some things that will help you strengthen your resolve in these days. I have nothing to hide. You know my way of life. You know my doctrine. You know the truths that I've taught. You know my faith, my love, my patience. You know that I've endured persecution and afflictions and suffering. You've watched me through all that, Timothy. Timothy, hear me. You've got to follow that path. There's another path being offered. But you need to follow the path that you've watched, you've been instructed in. Paul's point is find people like this and follow them. You've known what I believe. You know my lifestyle. You've known that I haven't turned from God in difficult times. Follow that. Paul's purpose marched in step with God's purpose. Look at verse number 14. It gives us the second strategy. Paul lays out his life as an example and says, I've modeled what I've tried to teach you. Follow that. Number two, continue in what you've learned. Verse number 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. But continue in those. Stay on the course. The way to resist the conduct of the last days is to continue in what you have been taught. That is the way that you resist it. That's the way that you say, no, I'm not going that way. I've been taught some things and I'm just going to continue down that path of what I've been taught. Just one foot in front of the other foot day by day. But I've been taught some things. I know what I believe. I have doctrine. I have faith. I know that I can make it through trials. I know my God. And because I know my God, I'm continuing after God. The point is, groups that want to float with the current of the conditions of the last days can be found everywhere. They're on every street corner today, my friend. Churches that want to follow the last days philosophies, they're everywhere. The way to resist them is to continue in what you've been taught. Verse 14, Paul reminds Timothy that the Word of God gives confidence in days of difficulty. It steadies the soul in verses 16 and 17 by giving us the absolute standard for truth. So Timothy's to remember both what he has learned and also who taught him in the truth. Consider your teachers, ponder their character, think of their sacrifice that will keep you on the straight and narrow when you are tempted to turn aside. Timothy was to abide. He was to make himself at home in the Word of God. What a safe refuge from the winds that blow in the last days. I want you to know, church, bad times are made for good people. When times get tough, good things start happening when good people stay by the stuff. Bad times are made for good people. What takes the wrinkles out of the shirt that I wear? The heat and pressure of an iron that's hot. What turns a lump of coal into a sparkling diamond? Heat and pressure. So it is for the Christian. What brings out the best in a Christian? What ought to bring out the best in the Christian is the heat and pressure of our world. It ought to cause us to stand up. It ought to cause us to be bold in what we believe. It ought to cause us to continue to stick to the stuff. Second, good people are made for bad times. Not only are bad times made for good people, but good people, may I say, sold out Christians, are made for bad times. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were three kids who refused to bow the knee in a really bad time. But they were made for that time. Esther was made for her time. My friends, in the last days, you and I are made for the times. We're made to stand out. We're made to be bold witnesses. We're made to continue in the things that we are learned so that people like Nebuchadnezzar, people in the wicked heathen world, can see our God and say, behold, He is the God of the Bible. He is the God of the world. Because men like Meshach and Abednego and Shadrach stood. Don't let the world change you. Instead, go out by God's grace and change the world. When the old landmarks are removed, when rot and decay are everywhere, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible is the only sure anchor. The world signpost will blow down in the storm. Human psychology and philosophy are full of uncertainties, but not this book. It's full of certainties. The world will get worse. Don't be surprised. Tough times are coming. Don't be discouraged. It's easier to stand strong, my friend, if you don't stand alone. Therefore, we need a church that will say, I'm going to continue. And the things that I've learned in the last days are not going to change me. I will stick to the book. You may be persecuted. You may be afflicted. You may lose friends. Old preacher years ago told me the most difficult decision you'll make in your life is between your companions and your convictions. You may lose some of them, but you won't be defeated if you continue. We must absorb the Word of God until our very blood is bibline. Our blood is filled with Bible. Spurgeon coined the term. We will never outgrow our need for the Word. We dare not live on yesterday's knowledge, but continue to grow in the Word day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year. He's told us what would happen, and He's given a charge to continue.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh,